From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Last week, Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger came out with a video announcing he would not be seeking re-election.
I cannot focus on both a re-election to Congress and a broader fight nationwide. I want to make it clear, this isn't the end of my political future, but the beginning.
But the beginning of what remains to be seen. There's been speculation about running for governor or the U.S. Senate, both of which would be uphill climbs just to win the primary. That's because Kinzinger has made resistance to former President Trump the centerpiece of his political life this year. But according to a Quinnipiac University poll from mid-October, 78% of his fellow Republicans want to see Trump run for president in 2024. When I heard about Kinzinger's decisions, one of the first voices I wanted to hear reacting to it was that of Charlie Sykes. Sykes was Wisconsin's leading conservative talk radio host for more than two decades, right up until 2016, when Trump's rise prompted him to part ways with his listeners and many others in the world of conservative politics and media. He wrote a book, How the Right Lost Its Mind, became a contributor to MSNBC, and co-founded The Bulwark, where he publishes a newsletter and hosts a daily podcast that's in regular rotation in my headphones. Charlie Sykes, welcome to The 21st.
Good to be with you.
So I want to get to Kinzinger in a bit, but I think we have to begin with the election results yesterday. Democrats lost the governor's race in Virginia, and at least when I checked a few minutes ago, the Democratic governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, he had been up by 11 points in a poll as recently as a week ago. That race was still too close to call. Charlie, what do you make of the election outcomes yesterday?
Well, I mean, it's got to be a huge wake-up call to the Democrats. You know, this is the latest warning sign that, you know, despite their wins in 2018 and 2020, that they have some real demographic problems. You see Republicans running up huge scores among rural voters and making inroads in the suburbs. I think Democrats ought to be really troubled by the fact that they are losing some ground among working class Black and Hispanic voters as well. So these are states that they should not have lost. Joe Biden won Virginia by 10 points. He won New Jersey by 16 points. So this is a bloodbath for Democrats. And the question is whether or not they will make the adjustments they need to make going into the midterm elections.
Yeah, on New Jersey in particular, the political journalist Dave Wasserman this morning was tweeting that Dems collapse in blue-collar parts of South Jersey is breathtaking, including the state Senate president currently trailing a truck driver who spent $153. Charlie, what message do you think Democrats will take from these election results?
Well, I can tell you what they ought to take is, number one, they need to do something about the non-college educated blue-collar workers who used to be the base of the party. And we have real educational polarization in this country, and there's been a lot of focus on the fact that Democrats have been doing better among college-educated voters. But the flip side of that is that there are far more non-college-educated voters, and that working-class vote has been slipping away from the Democrats, and I'm not sure that they have addressed that in a fundamental way. I have a piece in Politico magazine this morning where I raised the question, why can't you beat these guys? Why are you not able to beat Republicans? And one of the reasons is that I do think that, you know, the Democrats have not prioritized going after that constituency. And that's a problem because there are far more of them than there are the college educated voters. And I think that there's been a certain disconnect with those voters by the Democrats. So they're going to have to find a way to adjust and to listen to the kinds of things they emphasize, the themes they emphasize, and begin talking to those voters as opposed to talking past them or over their heads.
All right, let's talk about Adam Kinzinger now. It sounded, when I was listening to your show last week, it sounded like you saw his announcement come across while you were taping your podcast.
Yeah.
I want to ask if you were surprised, because I think the answer is probably no, but did his decision disappoint you?
Yes, it did disappoint me. It didn't surprise me because, you know, two things. I mean, number one, he would have had a very, very tough primary because he has bucked Donald Trump. But number two, the way that his district had been redrawn, the lines of the district had been redrawn by the Democrats in Illinois, made it very, very difficult to think that he could hold on. So I think the writing was on the wall there. But on the other hand, I am disappointed because the more sane, principled Republicans who step away, the more, you know, the more their place will be filled by deplorable Trumpist congressmen. And I, you know, just a few weeks ago, we had Congressman Gonzalez from Ohio, really one of the bright young stars who had voted to impeach Donald Trump, announced that he also was not running for reelection. And if I remember correctly, this is a 36-year-old rising Republican star whose at least congressional career is over. And you have to feel a sense of loss there, a sense of disappointment. Now, I take Adam at his word that he's got, you know, that he's not ending his political career. But I think people need to understand that the Republican caucus in the next Congress will be Trumpier than this one. And so that if Republicans take control of Congress, that will be a very different kind of Republican conference, even than we've seen before.
You know, we do have that full gamut of Republicans in Illinois, right? There's Kinzinger, obviously. Yeah. We have Rodney Davis and Darren LaHood. Davis, who came out in 2016 saying he would not vote for Trump, but he made his peace, although both of them did not vote to overturn the election on January 6th. But in southern Illinois, we've got Congressman Mike Bost, Congresswoman Mary Miller. They did both vote to overturn the election the day of the insurrection. And Miller even held a fundraiser this summer with Marjorie Taylor Greene as the headliner. In the new congressional redistricting maps Democrats passed last week, they drew Miller and Boston together. Miller could choose to take on Davis. I'm getting into the weeds here, but Kinzinger was drawn in with LaHood, right? I guess this is a long windup for me to ask, what do you think of the Democrats' decision to not try to throw Kinzinger a lifeline with the new maps?
Well, I was disappointed by this. I mean, I can see both sides of this, but I was disappointed because what this struck me as was politics as usual, that his courageous stand, and I do think that it is courageous, and I think the political courage is vanishingly rare to modern politics, his courageous stand to push back against Donald Trump should have counted for something. And the Democrats basically said, no, we're not going to give, you know, any credit for it. We're going to treat you like we would have treated any other Republican. Now, I do understand their thinking that it might have been also their sense that if they had left that district intact, that he might not have survived the primary, and therefore you would have had a more deplorable Republican who would have taken his place. And we just don't know at this point. But, I mean, this is the dilemma that I think Republicans have, is do you stand and fight, or do you basically acknowledge the, you know, the political wins here? I would like them to stand and fight. I really admire the fact that Liz Cheney is not backing down despite the odds against her. But I also think we need to understand the incentive structure is that people like Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney have to understand that Democrats, you know, they may alienate their fellow Republicans, but they're probably not going to get a lot of support from Democrats. And that's kind of the dynamic. And it's one of the reasons why I think a lot of Republicans have not broken with Trump, because they understand they lose Republican support and they don't compensate by getting more Democratic support. That's just the reality.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about politics with Charlie Sykes, who's the host of the Bulwark podcast, which is, I guess you might call it, a safe space for the sort of never Trump conservatives and Republicans. You can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455, especially if you live in Adam Kinzinger's district. What do you think of his decision to walk away? 800-222-9455 is the number. Charlie, we got a text message from a listener named John who says, in part, not a fan. He says, thanks to gerrymandering, Adam Kinzinger has had a safe seat in Congress for the last 10 years. As a result, he's felt no need to appear before his constituents and take their questions for over 5 years. John goes on to say, nevertheless, Kinzinger has always had plenty of time for self-aggrandizing appearances on various cable news networks as a self-styled foreign policy expert. Now this gutless wonder is masquerading as some sort of anti-Trump profile and courage in preparation for Act Two of his egocentric political career. Goodbye and good riddance, Adam Kinzinger. Thanks to gerrymandering, you will be replaced with another Republican who will have a safe seat for the next 10 years. Ain't democracy grand, close quote. Charlie, I imagine you get a fair amount of criticism and pushback from people on the left. Any reaction to John's comments?
Well, number one, I mean, it's because of the gerrymandering that he refers to. It probably will not be a Republican who gets that seat. But, I mean, I think that that's just a bad faith attack on Adam Kinzinger, who really had very little national profile before he chose to, take a vote to put his career at risk. Look, I mean, the reality is he talks about, being fake courage. What would real courage look like? When Adam Kinzinger voted to impeach President Trump, he knew that his political career might be over. He will pay a personal price. He will lose friends. He will lose associates. He will lose business opportunities. He's going to lose his seat in Congress. What would be the profile and courage that somebody would say, okay, here is somebody who is doing something that takes a lot of guts. And whether you like his politics or not, and that gentleman apparently does not like his politics, I think that we ought to recognize when someone does something based on principle that takes a lot of guts. And you measure the amount of courage by the price someone is willing to pay. And I think people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have been willing to pay really the ultimate political price. And I understand how much, how alienated he's going to be from the people that he probably has spent the last decade regarding as his friends, associates, and colleagues. So it is certainly not godless.
This puts me in mind of something your Bulwark colleague, JVL, Jonathan V. Last, said about Kinzinger. He said it was a mistake for Democrats to map Kinzinger. And I should say, yeah, he was mapped in with another Republican. I think that district will go Republican. But he suggests that they place no value on what he's done over the last year. He also said Congress is filled with hacks, whack jobs, and grifters, that the two parties would act in concert to drive out a serious, honorable public servant like Kinzinger when the place is full of bad people is a bad sign. You've both made the case that there's something bigger at stake in America. And I gather from listening to you that you don't think most Democrats see Trumpism with the same level of alarm you do. Can you make that case?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry I got that wrong about the gerrymandering. Yes, of course, it will be a Republican. He just won't be Adam Kinzinger. You're correct. And this is the question that I have is if Democrats genuinely regard Trump and Trumpism as an existential threat to democracy, shouldn't they act like it? Shouldn't they treat it as something different than politics as usual? And what I see is that they will say that they regard it as an existential threat. They understand at some level the threat that January 6th posed, and certainly understand the nightmare scenario of a Trump presidency 2.0. But then when it comes to actually adjusting their politics, I don't know that they have that sense of urgency. And I do think, as Jonathan Last wrote, that would have been reflected by trying to protect someone like an Adam Kinzinger, or at least giving him credit, saying, okay, we recognize that we may disagree on many things, but that we are going to recognize that we are allied on the most important crucial issue of our time. And clearly they didn't do that.
In Illinois, as recently as, and I should say we have a break coming up in about 2 minutes, but as recently as just 5-6 years ago, we had three Republicans in office who had won statewide elections. There was the U.S. Senator Mark Kirk, Governor Bruce Rauner, the controller. I wonder how you see Trump affecting Republicans in places like Illinois, keeping in mind both yesterday's results, but also what we've seen in the past 5 years.
Well, I mean, we're going to debate this for some time now. Does Glenn Youngkin in Virginia basically imply that you can, stay allied with Donald Trump and still win? Or does Glenn Youngkin indicate that there's a post-Trump, sort of a quasi-moving past Trump, arms-length formula there? Look, in a state like Illinois, if somebody ran statewide as a thoroughly Trumpian candidate, I think they would be annihilated. I think that we'd have no chance whatsoever. So somehow Republicans are going to have to find a way to break with that tradition, to move past it. But that's very difficult to do because, as we've seen, the Republican base is very motivated by Trumpian themes. And if you want to get the kind of turnout, say, in downstate Illinois that Glenn Youngkin got in rural Virginia, you can't alienate Trump. So it's the trick is, how do you thread the needle? And I'm skeptical that anybody would be able to do it in a state like Illinois.
All right, we're going to take a break here. I want to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Charlie Sykes, who was a longtime conservative talk radio host in Wisconsin, but he broke with his listeners and many in the conservative world back in 2016 when Trump was rising to power in the Republican Party. Today, he's a contributor to MSNBC and co-founder and podcast host at The Bulwark, which is a never-Trump media site online. You can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We do have a caller on the line, so do hold on until after the break. We're going to continue talking with Charlie Sykes. Then later in the program, we'll be talking about the changes to the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program from the government and the changes intended to help more people access that program. It's all coming up on the 21st. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st comes from Christie Clinic. Christie Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christie Clinic is focused on caring for the community.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. 800-222-9455. If you want to join us, we're speaking with Charlie Sykes, host of the Bulwark podcast, about politics, what happened yesterday in some of the elections where Democrats underperformed, arguably, what people had thought they might do, at least, especially, I should say, in New Jersey. We're also talking about Adam Kinzinger's decision to not seek re-election. And Charlie, when Kinzinger made his announcement, former President Trump issued a statement saying two down, eight to go. He was, of course, referring to the 10 Republicans in Congress who voted to impeach him for his role in the January 6th insurrection. Is Kinzinger's decision, is it a victory for the Trump wing of the Republican Party, in your view?
Well, it's not a defeat. And I think that, you know, what you're seeing is a full-fledged purge of anyone that was willing to stand up against the president. And I think that this is going to damage the party long term, maybe not in the short term, but long term. I mean, it is really extraordinary, this moment that we're in right now, where the Republican Party is getting rid of and shunning, exiling people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Representative Gonzalez from Ohio because they stood up for the rule of law. At the same time, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Madison Cawthorn, Paul Gosar, Matt Gaetz are rock stars in the party. I mean, that just tells you the direction this party is going. You can engage in the most reckless behavior. You can, put out bigoted anti-Semitic narratives. You can traffic in conspiracy theories, and you will be rewarded by the Republican Party and by the Republican base. There are no sanctions for those representatives, and yet, you know, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney are being cast into outer darkness. That tells you a great deal about the priorities and values of the Republican Party right now, and the price that ultimately I think they pay, at least ethically and intellectually and morally, for becoming a cult of personality for Donald Trump.
Let's go to the phones. Mark is calling in from Champaign. Mark, thank you for the call.
Yes, sir. Charlie, I want to first of all say that I'm speaking from 63 years as a progressive liberal, so that's my bias. I wonder if I might get your opinion as an observer of the political scene about the real need for election reform, political reform in this country, which I think was brought to the fore because of the Trump debacle. For instance, gerrymandering should not be done by political parties. It should be done by a neutral group. We need political reform so that we can return to a time where one person, one vote is the way it goes, and that everybody can run for election, whether they're a millionaire or a billionaire.
All right. Thank you for the call, Mark. Charlie, any reaction to that?
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I've really come around on this issue of the gerrymandering, which has contributed so much to our polarization. It's actually more complicated than I think people realize, because we have sorted ourselves out geographically by our politics. In Wisconsin, for example, Democrats are heavily concentrated in two counties, and so it's very hard to draw the lines that are competitive. But his point is correct. The whole idea of partisan gerrymandering is fundamentally anti-democratic. The one reform that I think is urgently needed in terms of elections is to amend the electoral vote count. This is the act that was passed in the 1880s that sets the parameters for how the electoral votes are counted by the vice president and by Congress. It's a mess. It's a terribly done bill. And I think that Congress really should make an urgent priority to clarify the limits on the ability of Congress or the vice president to mess with the popular vote. I'm very concerned about voter suppression, but I'm actually even more concerned about the counting of the votes and the possibility that popular votes in very large numbers may be nullified because of whether state legislatures or because of congressional action. So that would be the one reform that I don't hear enough about, but I think is really necessary.
All right, Charlie, I know you have a hard out at what we call in radio, a hard out at 11:30. So I'm just going to ask you one more question. I will acknowledge we did get another call from Gary in Normal, who wanted to commend you, says we need more people like him. Not going to take that call. Kinzinger was on ABC this Sunday, and he said it's not on Liz Cheney and I to save the Republican Party. It's on the 190 Republicans who haven't said a dang word about it, and they put their head in the sand and hope somebody else comes along and does something. Charlie, who is going to come along and do something?
Well, he's absolutely right, and I don't see anybody at the moment, mainly because the Republican problem is not a leadership problem. It's a followership problem. They are all afraid of their base. And ultimately, as long as Republican voters demand loyalty to Donald Trump, or and as long as the entertainment wing of the Republican Party is dominant, I don't see political leaders changing the trajectory of the party very much. And I think that's the real tragedy. But Adam is absolutely right when he says, don't look at them to save the party. It's going to be the people who know what's happening is wrong, but refuse to take a stand and speak up. And I don't see any prospect that's going to change anytime soon. I've been waiting for 5 years, and I think it would be naive to think that that's going to change now.
Charlie Sykes, thanks so much for being with us and sharing your perspective today on the 21st.
It's been my pleasure.
Charlie Sykes is the host of the Bulwark Podcast. He also writes a newsletter there. You can find it online. More to come in just a moment.